Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. Coming up on today's program, we have a report from our correspondent in Berlin on the first morning of Pope Benedict's four-day state visit to his German homeland. The Vatican spokesman Father Federico Lombardi speaks to us about his first impressions of the start of the papal visit to Germany. The head of the German program at Vatican Radio explores some of the themes of this papal visit to Germany and fills us in on the nation's historical and religious background. And the German organizer of this papal visit talks to us about some of the difficulties and challenges of organizing a trip that involves traveling to three very different German cities. Benedict is in Berlin on the first leg of his first state visit to his German homeland since his election to the papacy. Our correspondent travelling with the Pope is Veronica Scarisbrick, and she filed this report on the Pope's arrival and first hours on his native soil.
It may have taken him 6 years to return to his homeland on a state visit as Roman pontiff, but when the first German to be elected to the See of Peter since the 11th century finally arrived in the nation's capital, Berlin, he received a royal welcome. First, there was a 21-gun salute at Tegel Military Airport. Where he was welcomed, as protocol dictates, by church and civil authorities. For Germany, the President Christian Wolff and the Federal Chancellor Angela Merkel. For the church, the Apostolic Nuncio to Germany, Jean-Claude Perisset. And also the bishops of the three cities he's set to visit. Then a 10-kilometre drive to Berlin, and there was a castle, the Schloss Bellevue, the royal residence of Frederick the Great's younger brother, and since reunification of Germany in 1990, home to the German president. A rather grand, stark white neoclassical building, caught between a bend of the River Spree and the great Tiergarten Park, one time the hunting ground of a Prussian prince. And there, in a garden in front of the castle, a garden the British royal family had redesigned in 1952, there were guests to welcome the Pope, 1,000 of them. And the sound of the national anthems filled the air. The pontifical first, and then the German. It's music composed by Haydn, its lyrics written by Hoffmann, with a line, "Unity, justice and freedom for the German fatherland," which reflects the theme of freedom touched on by the Holy Father in his speech.
Im menschlichen Miteinander geht Freiheit nicht ohne Solidarität.
Freedom, the Pope said, in fact, requires a primordial link to a higher instance, the fact that there are values which are not absolutely open to manipulation is the true guarantee of our freedom. And he added, in human coexistence, freedom is impossible without solidarity and cannot be lived in the absence of relationships.
Von ganzem Herzen, herzlich willkommen in Deutschland.
The Holy Father looked moved as President Wolff welcomed him back to his homeland. And when all was over, he left the Schloss Bellevue, which he had earlier described as having, like many of the buildings in Berlin, a dramatic history, specifying, how a clear look at the past, even at its darkest pages, enables us to learn from it and to receive an impetus for the present. Inevitably, my thoughts turned to the prime symbol of Berlin architecturally, the Brandenburg Gate. Until 1989, behind the wall, the very place where President John Kennedy once pronounced the famous speech, Ich bin ein Berliner, I am a Berliner.
All free men, wherever they may live, are citizens of Berlin. And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the word, Ich bin ein Berliner.
But on Thursday, 21 years after the reunification of Germany, it's the Pope to make headlines, invited as he is to deliver a keynote address to German Parliament, a privilege reserved to heads of state, a royal welcome indeed on this first official visit back home. Even the normally aggressive local press has suddenly taken on a more reflective and positive approach to Benedict XVI's presence here, who on his arrival remarked, I have come primarily to meet people and speak about God.
Und Ihnen über Gott zu sprechen. Deswegen freue ich mich, dass eine große Vertretung der Bürger der Bundesrepublik hier da ist. Herzlichen Dank.
With the Pope in Berlin, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Pope Benedict's first day in the capital of Berlin was an extremely busy one, packed with engagements that were scheduled to last well into the evening. They included a private meeting with the German Chancellor Angela Merkel, a keynote address to the German Lower House of Parliament, a meeting with representatives of the nation's Jewish community, and the celebration of an open-air mass at the city's Olympic Stadium. Earlier in the day, during his flight from Rome to Berlin, as is the custom on papal trips abroad, the Pope answered a series of wide-ranging questions put to him by journalists travelling with him. Asked about the clerical sex abuse scandals that have shaken his native land, the Pope urged people to see that the Church comprises both good and bad.
Essere nella rete del Signore, nella quale tira pesci buoni e mali.
Using the gospel image of Jesus as a fisherman, he said the Church is a net of the Lord that pulls in good fish and bad fish. We have to learn to live with the scandals, he added, and work against the scandals from inside the great net of the Church. The Pope will travel on Friday to the eastern city of Erfurt, where Martin Luther, the leader of the Reformation, lived in the 16th century. His final leg is in the predominantly Catholic southeastern city of Freiburg. We remind our listeners that full video coverage of all the major events during the Pope's visit to Germany is available on the Vatican Radio website. The events can be accessed live or on demand with an English audio option by going to www.vatican.va/player. During the Pope's first day in Berlin, the director of the Holy See's press office, Father Federico Lombardi, spoke to our correspondent, Veronica Scaresbrook, about his impressions of the start of this papal visit.
My impression is very good. I think that the Pope is really happy of the way in which he has been received here in Berlin by the highest authorities of the Republic. The president and the premier minister. The Pope is German. The Pope is German. He has German roots, German culture, German way of thinking. And in this sense, I think he has the sense to be at home. And I hope that really the people here can feel that he is at home and that the people here desire to demonstrate him, that they accept him in his home with kindness, with attention for what he has to say, and that the speech of the president was very good in this sense.
it was very consistent with the way Germans think, no?
Yes, exactly. To see the thing with clarity and with decision, not to push by side the problems and so on.
He tackled even the fact of people being separated and how the church has always taken care of people in general, no?
Oh yeah, naturally. But the Pope has also spoken in the plain about the reasons for which the people are going away. There are some that go away for scandals and some other because step by step they lose the familiarity with the church. There are many, many different causes, and the Pope desires to give the sense of the interest of the church for all.
That was the Vatican spokesman, Father Federico Lombardi, speaking to Veronica Scarisbury. Coming up next, Tracy McClure has more background information on the Pope's visit to Germany. Let's listen.
Before leaving Rome for Germany, Veronica spoke with the head of the German program here at Vatican Radio, Jesuit Father Bernd Hagenkord. Like Veronica, he is now traveling with the Pope, and he's also writing a blog on the papal events. While speaking with Veronica, Father Berndt explores some of the themes of this, the Pope's first state visit to his homeland, and points out some of the highlights of this visit, an address to the Bundestag, the lower house of the federal parliament in Berlin, and another in Erfurt with the EKD, an umbrella group of Protestant churches in the very place where Martin Luther once lived and worked. Father Hagenkord also fills us in on the Catholic Church in Germany and some of its history within a divided nation prior to the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1990. He also tells us about the Central Committee of German Catholics, a lay organization dating back to the 19th century when Catholics had to battle with Bismarck. The organization was once opposed by Hitler, but today wields national influence. Let's listen.
Father Bernd Hagenkord, you head the German program at Vatican Radio. You're a Jesuit. What were you actually engaged in Germany?
Before coming to Rome, I was a youth minister in Hamburg, in one of the more secularized parts of Germany. I was helping out with the youth movement as a sort of chaplain, organizer, handyman, everything.
A Catholic youth movement?
A Catholic youth movement, like the Scouts, you know, summer camps and group sessions and facilitators and that sort. A lot of very democratic, a lot of volunteers.
You say it was a very secularized part of Germany, yeah. But isn't all of Germany secularized, apart from Bavaria, which is the Catholic stronghold?
Well, there are parts like Bavaria, but Bavaria has also very Protestant parts, like the north of Bavaria around Nuremberg. It's more Upper Bavaria, and around Cologne is very Catholic, or in the Eichsfeld, the part where the Pope will visit, it's also very Catholic. So we have islands around, scattered around. Yes, but on the whole, it's very secularized. But the north, and especially the cities like Hamburg or Berlin, its faith is just a very, very small minority.
Here at the radio, we talk about the Pope's visit as being a state visit, but is this perceived in Germany, do you think?
Yes, of course it is. I mean, it's one of the points being talked about, you know, the usual things, why this speech in front of Parliament, why paying the money. But a lot of politicians are very honoured that the Pope decided to accept the invitation to speak in front of Parliament. It's only the third time a Pope does that. John Paul II did it twice, once in his home country, Poland, once in Rome, as the Bishop of Rome. And now Benedict is doing it, so it's kind of an honour. A lot of people are very happy that the Pope does that. It's not just flying around visiting his flock, but also honoring the state by coming back and meeting the president, meeting the chancellor, speaking in front of the parliament, meeting the constitutional court, everyone, basically.
Of course, the Pope is very good at speaking. He's a university professor, as is his training, so he won't have a problem there, I don't think. Although there have been questions of people protesting, but not so much against him speaking at parliament, no?
Well, one party, the left party, the former Communist Party of the East, they have a couple of members of parliament and they decided to leave when the Pope enters the chamber. Okay, that's part of the job. I mean, it's democracy, right? The Pope has not decided to to visit a fairy country, but the reality is that is also part of German society. So it will be seen, visible. But then again, a lot of parliamentarians go on record these days saying that they are very happy and keen to listen to what he has to say because values seem to be very important. We just had a huge value discussion in Parliament about pre-birth diagnosis, pre-incubation diagnosis, whether a child has disabilities or not. So a lot of...
ethical issues.
Yes, ethical issues. And a lot of coalition building went on in Berlin around this issue. Those opposed, those in favour, and both churches, the Protestants as well as the Catholics, were very involved.
They work together a lot. They have equal numbers, more or less.
Yes, yes. Also the same sort of standing at different areas they're strong in, but still, we work together pretty
well.
But
some of the protests that you read about were geared against the usual issues, contraception, abortion, and homosexuality, no?
Well, yes, you get the usual, but their right to protest also guarantees the Pope's right to speak. So I'm fine with the protests. So are most church leaders in Germany, they're saying exactly the same thing.
I think there are roughly 25 million Catholics in Germany. Is that a correct number?
About a third of the population,
more or less. A third of the population, more or less. Yeah. But they're dwindling numbers.
Well, yes. As all over Europe, numbers drop. Of course, there's a general kind of tendency to drop, but also because of the abuse scandal we had last year, we talked about continuously for 1 year. This has been a huge impact on numbers. A lot of people leaving because of that, or using this as
the clerical sexual abuse,
scandal, using that as reason or whatever to finally do what they always wanted to do and needed a reason for. So a lot of people are leaving now.
But would you say that people are leaving the Catholic Church or are they also leaving the Protestant Church? Because the lines are a bit blurred, aren't they? A lot of people don't have a clear idea of what the Catholic Church stands for and what the Protestant Church
stands for. Most of the people who used to leave before the clerical sex abuse scandals, they left the church. Most of them didn't even know Protestant, Catholic didn't matter. They just wanted to stop paying the tax because we have this church tax system. And that's quite a lot for a lot of people. So they wanted to just get out of it. They had no affiliation or emotional attachment to the church, so they left. A lot of Protestants left because of the Pope, which is rather ridiculous, but they have to give a reason, just pro forma, just as a reason to put into the books, and a lot of them said celibacy and the Pope, which is ridiculous.
Another characteristic of Germany is the deadline, the 1990 deadline 21 years ago, the reunification deadline when East and West merged.
Yes.
At an ecclesial level, where are we at now?
Far better than the state level, I'd say. You can actually observe the difference between the East and the West still, economically, the kind of money people are being paid. But during the separation of the two Germanies, the diocese always maintained their kind of area, Berlin, for example, or in the north. They covered both East and West. There were parts of East and parts of West together, always. John Paul II was very strong on that. We don't give in to this kind of separation. We stay the way we are. That helped after the reunification, getting the two parts together. The communities function, of course, in the East. A lot of parts, there's no Catholic whatsoever. The next Catholic neighbor is 200 miles away. That's parts where children do not know what this cross is all about. They have no idea. They were kind of isolated, little bits and pieces, far, far away on the borders, and the rest, there was no school, there was no... The Protestant Church had a fairly strong standing with the state, but the Catholics, no. Hardly any around.
I was going to Erfurt, which is where Martin Luther lived and worked.
Yes.
And you think the Protestants are happy about that?
They're very happy about that. It's a very strong symbol. They're also having this ecumenical service, and they're using the Bible translation by Luther, not the one normally used in Catholic services. So that's...
He translated from the Greek, is that right?
Greek and Hebrew, yes, he did. And they're using that. And that's a very strong symbol. It's Martin Luther's monastery where he lived for his first, I think, 5 or 6 years as a monk before transferring to Wittenberg.
It's where Luther struggled his faith as an Augustinian monk. No?
Yeah, well, he was fairly Catholic. He travelled to Rome and he made all the pilgrimages, the appropriate ones. He was very, very Catholic. His thinking and his theology started probably at Erfurt. Wittenberg is more famous for the Reformation, but Erfurt is a diocese, so the Pope visits Erfurt. And they're very happy. You get all sorts of bishops and Protestant lay people talking on the radio, going on record, writing books and articles that they're very happy. We won't see a revolution. We don't see reunification of the two churches. But what we will see is a deepening of relations, that the things we share in faith, that they actually do work. We can sit together and talk to one another, and we can pray together. And this is what's going to happen.
Of course, for Benedict the 16th, being a German, the Protestants are the separated brethren. He knows best. This is perceived too, no?
Well, yes, too. But he also knows Luther's writings very well. If you go through his writing, and once in a while, Luther pops up, and he has got a very good understanding what the theology is about, and the Lutheran theologians appreciate that very much.
Getting back to the Catholic dimension of the trip, you worked with young people, so why don't we start with the prayer vigil?
Precisely, with young people in Freiburg on the last evening of his stay in Germany on Saturday.
Do you think it's going to be a big success, the prayer vigil in Freiburg?
I have no idea. I can visualize Berlin and Erfurt, but Freiburg, there are going to be a lot of people, of course. It's going to be a success in the sense of there's going to be a prayerful atmosphere. A lot of young people will attend, but I have no idea as to the numbers.
Because they're the future generations, so
Yes, but Germany is a bit different than, for example, London last year in Hyde Park, or World Youth Day this year in Madrid. Huge numbers. German youth groups and associations and will attend, but it's not this hype you see in other countries. We are Germans, after all.
Which means?
Well, more somber kind of atmosphere it will be. Singing, a lot of singing and dancing, of course, but not as much as we have seen in Madrid a couple of weeks ago.
And he'll be meeting with the Council of the Central Committee of German Catholics there.
Yes.
What is the Central Committee of German? It's a lay group, no?
It's the lay group. It's the coordinating group for all the lay movements and associations. It comes from the 19th century, when the Catholics had to do battle with Bismarck, and Bismarck wanted to control everything. So we had a very strong Catholic political party. The Central Party was called. And out of that grew a strong, very strong Catholic lay identity. And it's still around in this committee and in other committees as well. So they coordinate all the lay movement. There's no bishop on top. It's actually a lay-run thing, very democratic. And it's a very German thing.
They have political weight as well, because they coordinate, don't they, with other churches and with sometimes trade unions?
Yes, basically all the Catholic members of the government are members in their council as well. So it's a kind of cross-membership. A lot of very famous journalists, important journalists, politicians are also members there. So it's the place to be if you're a Catholic layperson and want to influence public opinion or have a say in the church.
So they wield power?
Well, power is an awkward word, but influence, yes, certainly, yes. Mm. And they organize a lot of things, like the Katholikentag. It's a kind of Catholic fair every 2 years. Huge affairs.
And did it develop more after the Second Vatican Council?
Well, it actually has been around all the time. Hitler fought it, and they kind of tried to suppress it, and it came back after the war. And then again, of course, flourished after the council and the synod, the German synod in Würzburg, which is also very important for Germany, a few years after the council. Yes, it's flourishing.
Beyond this group, the Pope's also meeting with Catholics involved in the church and in society. Do you know anything about that?
Freiburg, yes. Hmm. German Church at the moment is undergoing what we call a process of dialogue. 4 years of structured dialogue within the Catholic Church, because deep crisis of faith, of confidence, of structures. So we need to reestablish what it's about being Catholic. Dwindling numbers, lack of money. People don't actually trust the Church anymore. So it's an ongoing process. It has started half a year ago. And all the people who are involved in that are being invited. That's one strong leg of this visit in Freiburg, of the speech and the encounter in Freiburg. And of course, the Pope will affect that. I don't know if he will address it, but he will affect that kind of process. And of course, he has to encounter all the people who make the church run. I mean, it's the volunteers, it's the people who put in their spare time. And that's the time for them to be kind of in
Like in England, there's a culture of that kind in Germany, isn't there? There's a volunteer.
Oh, yes, very strong, very strong. Also outside the church. Germans like volunteering for things.
At all levels?
All levels, yes.
And what about the Bishops' Conference? Is it very strong in Germany? Does it have a particular identity? Is there infighting?
Well, about infighting, I don't know. But it's difficult because you have so different dioceses, and very strong, very rich ones, like Cologne or Munich, with a lot of identity, and very, very weak ones, like Hamburg, for example, where I lived, which has about 500,000 Catholics in the biggest diocese in Germany. So it's very, very diverse, the Catholic landscape. So the bishops have different issues to talk about. So yes, it's going to be difficult. Some of them want Pope to address core issues, Catholic core issues. Others want him to discuss more culture things so that they can use it in an environment where there are no Catholics, this kind of thing. So, but in fighting, I don't really know. No, I don't think so. They're all very happy that the Pope is coming. We didn't expect it when he announced it last year. We're all surprised.
Jesuit Father Bernd Hagenkord is the head of the German program here at Vatican Radio. He was speaking with my colleague Veronica Scarisbrick.
On the eve of Pope Benedict's arrival in Germany, the man responsible for organizing the papal visit in his homeland, Father Hans Langendorfer, told Veronica Scarisbrick that it was a difficult task, given the three very different cities the Pope is visiting during his four-day stay.
You are the organizer of Pope Benedict's first state visit to Germany.
Right.
You're also secretary of the Bishops' Conference.
Right.
How difficult was it to organize this trip?
It was not easy at all. Since we have three locations, three places which will be visited by the Holy Father, you have somehow to integrate these three places. They all have a different shape and different accent. With regards to the focal points of the papal program. So you somehow had to fit, one had somehow to fit all these places together, and I hope so, and I'm quite confident that we managed to do so.
What are your hopes? I mean, you're talking about context here,
right.
But what are your hopes for the content of this trip?
Right, I mean, the Holy Father has as a motto of this visit a sentence which says, where there is God, there will be future. And this program has a political part, of course, it's a state visit. And he will, I'm quite certain, emphasize that with leaving out God, even in the political arena, without having some faith and belief, some openness to transcendence, there is no real future, because then you have to build your world yourself and to rely simply on these human resources, which are very big, very creative, but too small to really safeguard life. Then this program has, of course, a huge spiritual and religious part, and there he will address the importance of religious faith to mankind and to every single person, and he will give his sermons in the circumstances of the Catholic Church of Germany. So I trust very much that there will be some interesting messages to the public arena, the political arena, as well as the believers, the faithful, the Catholics, but also the Protestants, because we have a huge meeting, an ecumenical respect with the Protestant Evangelical Church.
Well, that's all for today from me, Susie Hodges, here at Vatican Radio's English program. Laudato Jesus Christus.